Today's sermon is going to be the call to step forward. I'm going to be talking about courage today. Let me paint you a picture. There is a man who knows exactly what God is asking him to do. He has known it for months, maybe longer. God has spoken clearly through scripture, through prayer, through the quiet, repeated nudge of the Spirit. The calling is not ambiguous. The next step is not mysterious. He knows. But yet, he does not move. He stays exactly where he is. He tells himself he's waiting for the right time, waiting until he's ready, waiting until the situation is clear. But if you press him, like really press him, underneath all the spiritual sounding reasons, what you find out is this. He is afraid. And fear has become so familiar, so comfortable, so much a part of the furniture of his life, that he has stopped recognizing it as fear. He calls it wisdom. He calls it patience. He calls it waiting on God. But it is fear. Fear dressed in Sunday clothes. Fear making his way to church. Fear listening to me. Now, I want to say I am not throwing stones from a distance, because I'm describing every single one of us at some point in life. Fear is not unique to the weak. Might I say, I believe even the strong has to feel fear at some point. Fear sits in the pew next to the faithful. Fear has attended church for years, knows all the songs, knows the Bible scriptures. The question is whether or not you will face fear head on. What would you do when you encounter fear? Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, people who have genuinely encountered Christ, people who have been spiritually awakened. And he doesn't say, well done, you have arrived. Instead, he says, step forward, take it off, be made new, put on the self God has already made you to be. That is a call to courage and my call to you this morning. Okay, what's the point of the sermon today? From verse 20 to 22 of the Bible reading, I'm just going to read that again from verse 20 to 22. It says, but this isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. That's the New Living Translation. Just a second. Paul opens this passage with what sounds like a rebuke, but it's actually a rescue. He says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. And who is he talking to here? He's talking to people who have a history. People who, before Christ, lived according to a completely different logic. A logic shaped by desire, self-preservation, by the corruption of a world that had wandered far from God. And he didn't deny the history. He didn't pretend that it never happened. But he's drawing a line there. He says, this is not who we are now. And that is not the life you learned from Christ. In verse 22, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Now notice something that I think we miss in this verse. Paul does not say the old self is dead. He doesn't say it's dead. He says, throw it off. It's being corrupted. Present tense, it's ongoing. It still has a voice. Your old self still has a voice. It still knows exactly what to say to make you hesitate at the very moment God is calling you forward. The old self is the one that whispers, you're not qualified. You've done too much, failed too many times, fallen too far from God. The old self is the voice that replays your worst moments in a loop and says, this is who you really are. When you could be more, when you could be greater. But Paul says, you've been taught by God, by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to put it off, not to argue with it, not to negotiate, not to explain to your old self why you deserve another chance, but to put it off like a garment. Take it off, throw it up. Here is where courage actually starts. Not by adrenaline pumping, but in a settled conviction about our personal identity. Who are you? Are you your old self? Are you afraid? Are you corrupt? Are you shaped by deceit? Or are you the one who have heard from Christ, been taught by him, and encounter the truth in Jesus? Because you cannot step forward into courage without knowing who is stepping into courage. When I was planning the sermon, I stumbled upon a video, I can't remember exactly where, but the video said something, and I took it and I threw it in here. It says, fear and faith, fear, F-E-A-R, fear, and faith, the faith we have in Jesus Christ, in God, our personal Lord and Savior, they both ask you to believe in the unseen. You're scared of something because you don't know what's going to happen. You have faith in something, but you haven't seen the result. Of all the verses in this passage, verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Paul is not talking about behavior first. It's not starting with the rules or actions or disciplines. It starts with the mind, the attitude of the mind. I believe both fear and faith asks you to believe in something you cannot see. Because I think most of us have been operating as though faith requires us to believe the invisible, while fear is somewhat grounded in reality. But I don't believe that's true, because fear is not reality. Fear is just a projection. Fear is your imagination running a simulation of a future that does not yet exist. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you fear to put your hand in a pot of boiling water and it's just your imagination. It's going to burn. And somewhat proves what I'm saying. Because you fear to do it, but you never know the result. It might turn out bad or worse than you expect. It might turn out better than you expect. But you never know the true result. It's just like fate. You never know the true result, but you believe it's going to happen. When fear says, what if it goes wrong? It is showing you that something that has not happened. When fear says you will fail, they will reject you, it will collapse. It is showing you an invisible future. A future that somewhat you invented. And it's completely convincing. Now, hear what faith says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith also deals in the invisible. Faith also asks you to act on a future you cannot yet observe with your physical eyes. Faith also inquires and requires you to invest belief in something that has not yet materialized in the seen world. So both fear and faith are doing the same structural thing. Both are asking you to orient your life around an unseen reality. Both are asking for your imagination, your trust. Because if you fear something, you trust it's going to happen. If you have faith, you should trust it's going to happen as well. Your forward motion, you know, it asks you to base your reality on something you cannot verify. The difference between both is just the source. Fear says, trust the worst to happen, or trust the enemy's forecast. Trust the voice that has always told you you're not enough, things will not work out, that God might not come true. Take it as this. Last week I went to one of my basketball games. I seem pretty tall everywhere I go until I step on a basketball court. I'm most times the smallest basketball player. I see people bigger than me. I'm like, okay, this is not a good place to be. Last week I had a basketball game and I walked in with fear because I could see everyone towering over me. But this was a team that they've lost the last 10 games in a row. Why play against me now and I'm scared? They have to be doing something wrong. So I believe as children of God, if you let your fear lead, you might end up crashing yourself. Because when I saw them, I was looking up. I was looking up at some players. It's never a good thing, trust me. Now I see why some people say, oh, you know, you're so tall. I was looking up at some players that day, and I thought to myself, if they can lose 10 games in a row, what's the difference in us beating them? Because we're on a good streak, too. We won the game, by the way. That was a really good game. I played only 5 minutes because I couldn't stand that. Faith says, trust the Father's promise. Trust the testimony of what he has done before. Trust the one who was present at every moment you thought you would not survive. This is the renewal of the mind Paul is calling us into, not the suppression of our imagination. Giving your imagination not to the enemy to furnish with fear, but to the Holy Spirit to furnish with possibility. Think about what fear has convinced you is impossible in your life. Now ask yourself honestly, is that certainty or is that projection? Is that reality or is that the story of, or is that the story the enemy has been allowed to manifest in your mind? Because stories are told to be believable. But the question is, whose story are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the story of God? Or are you going to believe the story of your old self? Third point I'm going to make today is putting on a new self is an act. It's not a feeling. Moving on to verse 24. And it says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now we come into the action. And I want you to notice what Paul does not say. He does not say, wait until you feel like the new self. He does not say, wait until the fear subsides. He does not say, wait until circumstances makes it safer. He says, put it on. I'm trying to think of an analogy here. Have you ever taken off a coat so fast and put on a new one so fast because you had to hop out of the house? Like, maybe for teenagers, for me, it's very common. I'm at home, my friend says, oh, dress up, I'm coming to pick you up. I take off my clothes real quick, I change, and I'm out of the house. That's what Paul is telling us right here. He's saying, put off your old self and put on your new self. And what's the difference between the old self and the new self? It's the belief in the faith, the courage. The language of putting on and putting off is intentional. Paul uses this language throughout his letters. Put off lying, put on truth, put off anger, put on kindness, put off the old, put on the new. It's the language of a daily, deliberate choice. The kind of choice that does not always feel good, the kind of choice you make before you feel ready for it. That's what courage really is. Not the absence of fear, not a superhuman immunity to doubt or uncertainty. Courage is the act of putting on a new self, again and again and again. Even when everything in the flesh wants to go back to the familiar comfort of your old self. Think about Abraham. God told him to leave everything he knew and go to a place he would show him. Not a map, not coordinates, just go, and I will show you when you get there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Sometimes you read the Bible and you think, oh, so he just left his house and he was walking. I'm pretty sure there's many ways to think about this. There was something that happened in Kitchener yesterday. I'm trying to remember the name. It's a multicultural festival. It was in Victoria Park yesterday. I was there, and there was a small booth where, I saw maybe a pastor. I don't know if they're considered pastors or Jehovah Witnesses. We had a little conversation, and they said something about, you can read the Bible 1,000 times and have 1,000 feelings. It's all the way you, it's all the way you translate the Bible, the meaning you read out of the Bible. Or interpret, thank you. It's also a good word. It's the way you interpret the Bible. He did not know where he was going. That is not comfort. That is not a careful risk-managed decision. That is a man who looked at everything he cannot see and chose to trust the God who can. Think about Peter at the edge of the boat in Matthew chapter 14. The storm is real. The wind was real. The waves on the waterfront were real. And Jesus says unto him, come. And Peter does the only thing that makes no earthly sense. He gets out of the boat, not because the storm stopped, not because he suddenly felt confident about his swimming abilities. He stepped out because the one calling him Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, was worth stepping out for. And yes, he began to sing. But here is what I love about that moment. Jesus did not let him drown. He said, "Why did you doubt?" Jesus asked him, "Why did you doubt?" And then he caught him. Even Peter's partial courage, even his half step of faith, was caught by God. And then there were disciples in the book of Acts chapter 4, arrested, threatened, released, and told never to speak the name of Jesus again. They had every reason to go silent, every reason to stay in the upper room and let someone else carry the message. Instead, they gathered and they prayed the prayer, one of the boldest prayers in all of Scripture. They said, "Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness." They did not consider for the threat to disappear. They prayed for courage to speak in spite of it. They did not ask God to remove the storm. They asked God to make them the kind of people who could walk through it. They're not asking for God to come down and take away their problems. They're asking for the courage or for the will, the zeal to push through whatever challenge, whatever situation they were going through. That is the prayer. That is the heart of it. Paul says the new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created, it's already done. That is not a future aspiration. It's a present reality in Christ. You're not walking towards becoming someone who can live righteously. You're putting on someone who you already are in Him. This is the ground of your courage, not your own strength, not your own track record, not your own confidence. The new self made by God, in God's image, for God's purpose, is more than adequate for whatever God is asking for you. Now I said all this. I said the basis of faith, difference between faith and fear, and what faith actually means. So what do you want to do with it? I want you to ask yourself three questions, and I want you to sit through them honestly. Not quickly, not right now, but honestly. First question. What is one thing you already know God has been asking you to do that you have not done? Not because it was unclear, not because you were waiting for more information, but because stepping into it felt too large, too uncertain, or too exposed. What is that one thing you believe God has been asking you to do? Second question. What story has fear been telling you about that particular step? And where did that story come from? Is it scripture? Is it in the spirit? Or is it just the enemy using your own imagination against you? Third question. When you take off that old self and you put on the new self, what would the new self do? The self created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Not the old self that's afraid, that's shaped to think everything's gonna go wrong. What would the new self, the one who God has already made you to be, what would the new self do? Because that is who God is speaking to when He calls you forward. Not the fear, not the history, not the version of you that has been corrupted with deceitful desires. He's speaking to the new self. He's speaking to the person he has already made you to be in Christ Jesus. And he's saying, step forward. Put it on. Walk in it. Not when you feel ready. Not when the path is clear all the way to the end. Now, from here onwards, walk with me. I want to close with this. Paul tells us we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And I believe that's the most audacious statement in this passage. Not that we should try to be more like God. Not that with enough effort we might get there. Created to be like God in the moment of our at the moment of our conversion, in the act of putting on the new self. God embedded us in something of his own nature. His righteousness, his holiness, not as performance, but as an identity. God gave us his holiness as a new self. This means that the most courageous version of you is not a stretch goal. It's not someone you have to become. It's someone God has already made you. Someone who is buried under layers of the old self. Maybe. But the old self is not gone, not removed, and not unreachable. The call this morning is not primarily about being brave enough to do a hard thing. The call is to know that you're deeply enough that the hard thing becomes an act of worship rather than an act of terror. When you know who you are in Christ, courage doesn't become heroism, it becomes obedience. It is simply living out what you know is already true. So I'd like you to step forward, speak the word, have the conversation. Take off the old self and put on who you were always already made to be. It might be difficult, it may, but the God who made you is not trembling. He's already there. In the future, you're seemingly afraid of. He's holding the door and paving ways. And he's turning to you now and saying, come, and I will show you when you get there. Just like the words of Abraham. Both fear and faith asks you to believe in something you cannot see. The difference is not the structure of the belief. It's the author of it, yourself. You create the fear and you have the faith. So you get to decide that structure. What you want to believe, what you cannot see, you know what you want and you know what's holding you back. Take off that old self and let the body, the mind, that God has created, take it and put it on.